We've already been talking for a couple of hours. We are sat around a kitchen table. Laptops are out. We've had a delicious breakfast. I'm sat with David Hearn and Eva. Eva, what's your last name?
Von Ehrreich.
Hey, I almost got that right. Where are you from?
I'm from Stockholm, Sweden.
And your job?
Oh, I'm working on disasters.
Because this morning we've had some... I'm also working on some disasters, but not the same kind. We've had incredible talk about disaster management. Now we're back onto technology and photography, of course, with David Hearn. And I'm interested to learn about exhibitions that you've got on now in Cardiff and an exhibition that is coming up soon. So could you start with explaining a little bit about Cardiff?
Well, Cardiff is really my home. I went to nursery school, primary school, etc. Back in just after I was born, 1934, and it's always been the place that I've come back to. Within our family, we've always had a house in Cardiff. I live in Tintern now, which is 40 miles from Cardiff. So my connections to Cardiff are very, very close. And it's a beautiful city. And what is lovely about Cardiff is it's one of the few cities I know which is getting better all the time. One of my judgments of whether a city gets better is how many coffee bars it has. And Cardiff is springing up coffee bars all over the place. And that gives it a wonderful feeling of community, etc. So it's a nice city. I was contacted by various young photographers who I loved instantly because they were so full of enthusiasm. And by and large, I suppose my worry about a lot of young people now is that they seem to do an awful lot of academic talk, but they don't seem to get off their backsides and do very much. And I was brought up in an era, you know, I was in Hungary when I was 21, covering the revolution. And all my friends around me at that time seemed to be people that did things. You know, Ken Russell was a ballet dancer who wanted to make movies and had a little wind-up Bolex and went out and used all his friends in the things. And Johnny Antrobus wanted to be a writer and started to write things, which ended up, he wrote The Goon Show with Spike Milligan and things like that. So I've always loved people that actually don't just talk about things, but actually do things, you know. And I think there's a difference. And so suddenly... these young kids, I'm sure they won't mind me calling them that, phoned me up about sort of advice about galleries and photography and things like that. I could tell they had that enthusiasm, so I went to see them. And they'd started this small gallery called the Third Floor Gallery, which is... basically in a rather obscure place. It's on the third floor, so the title is accurate. And it's a nice little gallery. You can put in about 25, maybe 30 pictures. But what is wonderful about it, I repeat, is their enthusiasm. And that's all they basically have. They have no money, so they're pleading all the time for sort of money. I hope people will give it to them. But they just want to do something, and they're bright and they're expansive and all those sort of things. So I said, yeah, they asked me if I would have a show there. And I don't want to sound too pompous, but I thought, well, this isn't the place that I'm going to say, oh, isn't David Hearn a wonderful photographer? These are my best pictures type of thing. So I said to them, well, yeah, get on and do some other shows. So the first thing you need to do in your gallery is get a flavour of what it is you want to do, which is really already, you can see that they're, you know, humanitarians. They that old-fashioned word of liking people sort of thing, which I liked, obviously. And I was toying with what I could do there which would be suitable. And I was actually with Eva in Stockholm, And I was outside, very, very close to her flat, not more than 50 yards from the not flat apartment. And I saw a dog outside a cafe, obviously waiting for its owner to come out. And I shot a picture of this, and I said to Eva, I now know how to do my show. And the reason I know how to do my show is because I remembered one of the first pictures I ever took in 1955 of a dog in Soho outside a cafe waiting for its owner to come out. And I said to Eva, look, what I can do is I can divide my life into two halves, up to 1982, which is halfway, and past 1982, so I can show I've been photographing a long time. I can also show that I'm still photographing because I can show photographs recently. But what I'll do is show pairs of pictures, which not only show some of the pictures I quite like, but will also show a very photographic idea, i.e. that subject matter keeps coming round and round and round and round. And by definition, you do something new because the thing about the world is that it changes all the time. As you look out now, and now I look again now, the world has changed in that time. So you don't have to have in photography this idea I'm doing something new. By definition, the new is the fact that the world has changed. So I went back and I, from memory, and that was my way of doing it, I started to pick pairs of pictures, and I thought I could get in, I think it was 22 pairs of pictures. So I came up with 22. And when we went into the gallery and started to put them up against the wall, to see, I realised it would be quite useful to have three more. So I thought, oh, God, I think I've memorised all the pictures that are pairs I've got. And then Joni, who's one of the guys in the gallery, suddenly said, oh, well, we'll put it on Twitter or Facebook. As I know nothing about any of these things, I wasn't quite sure what he meant. And we'll get, basically, the general public to trawl through pictures of yours and see if they can come up with some pairs. So I said, well, that's a wonderful idea. Wonderful idea. I love that. But I thought we were talking about maybe three people out there or two people out there might find some pairs. Now, it's very difficult to troll. I mean, you know, they could go through my books, they could go through, I don't know what they could go through, and they could go through the Magnum database, you know. But on the Magnum database, they're looking at 5,000 pictures. You know, how do you go through 5,000 pictures and try to pick pairs? It obviously takes a lot of work. Within 2 days, we had, I think, 180 pairs of pictures coming up. So many that at the end of 2 days, we had to stop it because there was no way I could control what was happening. So I said, well, look, as the initial show is my choices, I will choose three extra pairs. I actually expanded to five extra pairs so that it's still roughly all under my control. And the more I thought about it, I was genuinely moved by the amount of work that people who didn't know me had put into doing this funny little game, you know. And I went back into the gallery and I said, look, why don't we, halfway through my show, take my show down and put a new show, which is purely the choice of the people out there. And, you know, we'll give some prizes, a book, you know, simple prizes. I can give people books and things like that. And we'll do that. And in that case, I said, look, I don't want to be involved in the choosing of the pairs because the first show was me. Now let's see you. So I asked the kids in the gallery to do the choosing. And of course, my slight worry, dilemma, was that if I suddenly decided the second show was better than the first show, it put in doubt my ability to be a picture editor, which I'd always thought I was a very good picture editor. But what was lovely was, of course, the show was just different. It was my pictures. A lot of the pictures were not what I feel are my most iconic pictures, because they're those that are in a database. Of course, people out there picked for all sorts of different reasons. You know, some people did things that were funny, and some people that did things which were very formalistic, and some were very abstract and very obscure and things. And that was lovely. So that show was done, and I loved it, and it's just come down. Right out of the blue, then after that, I was contacted by some people in Cardiff. I'm not quite sure who they are, even. But anyway, there's a new museum opening in Cardiff, which I think, I might be inaccurate, but I don't think it matters. It's called something like the People's the Museum of Cardiff or something. Anyway, it's a museum about Cardiff. And it's got this, what seems to have tinges of a rather left-wingy title to it, which I thought was a bit strange. But anyway, fine. As that's my beliefs, I'm happy. And so they asked if I had some ideas for a show for that. And I've just done this book with John Fuller, who's a poet, wonderful, wonderful poet. Red Prize winner and Booker Prize listed and all that sort of stuff. And so we'd done this book together with him writing poems about 50 pictures that he liked of mine. We've known each other for 20 years or so. And that was quite a complicated process. But anyway, basically what I decided to do in the new exhibition is I'm going to put up 5 or 6 of my pictures with his poems that are about Cardiff. And then what I'm going to do is underneath that put another maybe 20, 25, dependent on how much space there is. So it's infinitely flexible. But I have, I have hundreds of pictures of Cardiff that I quite like. So I'd probably put up 25. And then the general public will be asked to write poems about those 25 pictures and pin them underneath. But I'm now getting brave. I actually know the word Twitter and Facebook and things like that. So I've suddenly, in my mind, it's not quite such a fearful idea. And I might even try to expand the thing by saying I could put like the 25 pictures online or whatever you call it, and see if the general public out there could write poems about them. So I'm really quite excited by the kinds of possibilities of expanding exhibitions outside just... I mean, I still want to say this is what I think about the world. That's why I'm a photographer. I want to go and shoot pictures and say to people, I find this interesting, do you find it interesting? And I want to be able to say this is my specific view. But I now very much like the idea, and I'm just really on the peripheries. I mean, boy, oh boy, am I an amateur in this thing. But I do like the idea of not having prints under the bed, but the general public being able to comment. I'm slightly fearful because a lot of the comment can be, Sun newspaper readers or something type comment, and therefore I don't find that terribly useful. Mm. But I'm interested to see what actually happens, So that's my next project, and I could tell you the next project after the next project.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, good.
Crowdsourcing, it's quite a brave, I think it's quite brave for a photographer to relinquish what is quite a large amount of control when you think about that. It makes me question how many photographers have exhibitions with the thoughts of what are the general public going to think of this? How much in your forefront is that? Do you put up an exhibition and worry about what people are going to think about it?
Well, I certainly don't worry about it because, you know, as I say, the prime thing of an exhibition for me is me saying to the world, this is the best I can do. This is as accurate as I can get within the problems of photography. This is as accurate I can get to my thoughts, my observations about the world. And then I'm saying to somebody else, basically, does this interest you?
Yeah.
Now, I'm very happy if it does interest them. And I'm very happy if it interests them so much that somebody pays me some money and wants to buy them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I do. I try to make my living selling pictures. And, you know, I'm 76 now and have managed to since I was 20. So I have no worries about whether this will continue. But of course, I'm you know, the box of prints under the bed is absolutely disastrous. And of course I'm interested in what people think, particularly about people that are enthusiastic and give it a little bit of thought and are not just trying to be clever. And so I am really, really interested in this whole thing. If I was starting from scratch, I am absolutely certain that I would be involved in it. I'm absolutely certain I would utilise it in a constructive, successful way. Having said that, because I know very little about it, I don't know what that would be. Mm. And so what I've got to be very careful about now is to realise that I'm of an age where my shooting is not going to change. I just don't want to get too involved of suddenly finding I'm spending all day looking at tweets or whatever they're called, because by and large I'm not very interested in somebody having, you know, I am walking down the road, isn't this a wonderful experience type of thing. I'm not very interested in that.
But in some ways the people that are coming to see your pictures are extracting their own interests out of you doing exactly that. Yeah. I'm walking down the road. Not I'm now walking down the road. I've just taken a photograph whilst walking down the road. So where's the difference in that?
I don't know. But because
which photographers do you enjoy going to exhibitions of, for example?
Well, I enjoy going to exhibitions that I can steal from. I mean, that's my criteria. And by steal from, I mean I want to look at something and say, God, that's done so well. It's done better than you could expect anybody to be able to do, whatever that means. You know, we're going to have a whole debate about that. And I look at it and I think, isn't that a wonderful idea? Or isn't that an extraordinarily bizarre technique? Or isn't that an incredibly impressive thought? Might be in reading or something.
Wouldn't you like to get into the minds of these photographers then?
What? Wouldn't I?
Yeah, get into the minds.
No. I'm more interested in what they do. I think there is too much conversations, etc., about somebody else trying to philosophize about what is in the minds of the person. I'm interested in what people do all the time. All the time I'm saying, well, show me what you've done, or show me your bit of writing. Don't talk to me about what you're going to write. I want to see the book. So when I go to an exhibition, I look at the, and then this particular idea then somehow gets into the back of my mind, and maybe, not always, but maybe I can utilise. I can give you an example of it, which I think is a good idea. There's a wonderful book by Jeff Dyer. I sadly forgot what it's called, but you know, he's not a photographer or anything like that, but he wrote this book about, which I think is one of the better books written about photography. And his simple premise, basically, is that during his life, he has seen certain kinds of pictures that photographers have taken, and many photographers have taken the subject matter I'm talking about now, and he says, isn't that interesting? So, we'll give a simple example. He writes about pictures of people playing piano accordions. And he describes how Cortez did this and Dorothea Lange did it, I think, and goes, you know, and he writes about this interesting subject matter that for some reason photographers seem to enjoy doing. I am later, some months later, having read this, walking through Newport, and suddenly the other side of the road, there is a man playing piano accordion. Now, I don't know whether I would have gone to the other side of the road and looked at him, or whether I wouldn't. But my guess is that this idea that Jeff had put there sparked me to go to the other side of the road and then to concentrate and take some pictures, of which one of them I like a lot.
You, if we strip this right back down to basic bones, I think primarily he inspired you to be interested in this direction, and that seed was planted. For me to be here in your house, for example, I cannot help but just absorb inspiration from just walking to the guest room.
Yeah.
I'm witnessing incredible works by incredible photographers, many not here anymore. I'm just leeching inspiration from that. It makes me want to grab my camera and just run out the house. Well, so is it not a similar kind of thing? You go to places where you are inspired.
Yeah. I mean, that's, my definition of a good lecture is one that I come out from and want to go and do something. You know, I don't care what the lecture's about. But even if I don't understand it, which a lot of times I don't, I'm interested in people. Then, I mean, we've been watching on television. There was a wonderful Swedish guy who, Eva, what was his name?
Hans Rosling.
Yeah. And he was talking about statistics and things, and I half of what was there I didn't understand at all, but it didn't matter. You just felt that this guy was so authoritative and so enthusiastic that even if I didn't pick up a single thing about statistics, when I stopped watching the programme, I wanted to be a photographer. It suddenly made me continue and say, trying to do something really, really well, trying to stretch it to do it better than I'd done it before, is a worthwhile activity. Now, I love that in anything, whether it be reading a book, whether listening to music or something. Suddenly you get kind of inspired. That's what I do. So
you have, and you've always surrounded yourself with people that, to a certain extent, excel in their fields as well.
I think that's... I'm going to sound a bit pompous, et cetera, now. But I think that's where you learn. You learn from people that are better than you. You don't learn that much from people that aren't. And so I go back to when I started. When I went to cover the Hungarian Revolution, I went with a camera and a book on how to use it. I was just enthralled by the whole curiosity of what was going on in what was an uprising. And so the taking the pictures was pretty easy. The whole thing of getting there and trying to understand what's going on is what's more difficult. But what I found at that period was that I used to hang around in coffee bars and things. And when I looked back and realised that people that I met there were people like Ken Russell, Walter Lassily, Holroyd, Colin Wilson. All these were young people of the same age as I was. And in hindsight, and photographers, McCullen and Philip Jones Griffiths, etc., in hindsight, what we were all doing was sorting out other people that we sensed wanted to try to be the top of the ladder of their field. They wanted to do things. Now, when I see young people today, they go to university photography course. It's well known that I have my reservations about the whole academic side of that photography. But I say to those students, I say, well, look, have you been across to the graphics department? Have you looked through the students and found who is the best designers? And have you tried to befriend those people. Because if you find a young designer the same age as you that you really like, you will have a lifelong friend and asset. And have you been to the, I don't know, the archaeology department to see if there are people there that are potential great archaeologists? Because those kind of that kind of networking of the best is really useful. Not only because they actually make very interesting friends, but they are friends that you can work with and do things with. So I am a great elitist in that sort of way. I mean, that's not to say that, you know, obviously one loves all sorts of other people.
I know. You're not alone in this, though. And I think if I can bring it back to, to Twitter and social networking in general, as I say, this is where, in my mind, how I use these tools, it has come of age. And for me, I've definitely connected and created lists and such online to filter from all of the noise that's out there. As you say, you don't necessarily just want to see the trites all the time. But for me, I will quite happily take the small talk, especially when it's from people that I know are amazing at what they do. And I gravitate towards these people. We build these little A-teams. We build these little gangs. And for me, not being able to be with them or next to them or close to them, because of where I live, for example, this ethereal almost back channel, this subconscious layer of information, they're having their breakfast now, I'm having my breakfast now. It gives you this strange connection. Then when they throw a link out to their work or they throw out some more personal thoughts, like I'm quite often talking into this, giving my opinion, that's where I sit down and I take a moment to absorb. So it's, it does take a lot of getting used to how to filter out. But just the same as if I walked through the door now and said, lovely weather out there, that's not really relevant. But you'll take it because it's courteous in a way. As ever, I'm comfortably reaffirmed that I hope I'm on the right track by hanging around people that inspire me. And
well, you see, the same thing happened with you. I mean, we were both, I can't even remember what we were at. We were at something where, I was giving a talk about pictures, and there was some lady there from the, I think from the Sunday Times picture editor, talking about picture editor. And then suddenly there was this guy who I'd never heard of, you, in fact. You know, I sat down to listen, and I was spellbound. I didn't understand hardly anything you talked about, but A, you made me laugh, and which always is a very good starting point for me. I enjoy things that make me smile and laugh, and I realised that you really, really, really knew what you were talking about, and it was a whole era that I sense was important in the future. Sense, because I know nothing about it. And what did I do? I went up to you and said, look, I think that's a wonderful talk. I would love to get together with you. And I meant it. But I'm being selfish. I'm grabbing another person that I think can expand my knowledge, use, etc. And then, to my delight, you send a little email saying, yeah, I'd love to come down. And you come down and we spend a couple of very pleasant days, and I hope, you know, a kind of friendship as, and the next thing I now feel very, I don't feel selfish or whatever the, you know, I will now ask you questions and things, and in exactly the same way as if I have something to offer to you, we'll offer, and we have a mutual agreement, which is staggeringly wonderful.
Definitely. And it's all through the medium of conversation, which is incredible, which we're now able to share. Thank you so much.
No, well, the only thing is that my understanding that a blog is 142 letters or something.
A Twitter, a tweet is 140 characters. A blog can be as long as you want.
Oh, I see. I was going to say, because this is, has been a little bit longer than the 140.
We're approaching
characters.
30 minutes, which for me is a magnum opus, I think.
Anyway.
Enthralling all the way. That's 30 minutes of inspiration. Thank you very much.